Lord, we thank you that you are our Father, and that through your Son, Jesus, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we are invited to walk with you. We're invited to imitate you as Jesus modeled for us. We are invited and challenged to be your people in the world of darkness, to be light, to be your ambassadors of love, of justice, and of humility. Lord, as we begin this new year of the church, help us to know what it means to do what you require, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with you, our God. Thank you, Lord, that you have done it all, that it's simply by your power and your grace and your love that we can move forward and do these things. So, Lord, bless us now as we hear your word. As we begin this new year of the church, help us, Lord, to seek your will and to walk in your ways. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first Sunday in Advent, I also already mentioned to you that this is a special day for us because it is the beginning of the new church year, and it's a chance for us to really, I know that I gave you some statistics last week. I actually found out from one of the brothers that the statistics I gave were probably the worst you could possibly find. And I have to be honest with you, I was having a lousy week last week. This Byron thing, I didn't realize how much it was going to affect me. So the fact that the funeral was on, even though the funeral was great and the message was great and it was powerful, it still had an effect on me. And on Sunday morning and on Saturday when I looked up the statistics, I used the statistics from a Mission Planters network thing, and I think they're trying to sell their products because they were the worst possible statistics. So I just want to say, if you felt like I did, that it was kind of depressing at the end, be assured that wasn't the end of the story, that the Lord is gracious and that he does provide mercy. So the first Sunday in Advent is for us a celebration, and that's why we start the celebration. And I decided that even though if you use the devotion that we have that's on the back, the Celebrate Advent experience, you're going to be reading through and studying what it means to be ready this week. But instead of using the text and the sermons that they provided for that, and maybe it's just because I don't like canned stuff, but they provided sermons, I decided that I asked the Lord, what do you want us to learn as we go into this new year that will define us as a body, that will define us as the family here across the church? What's going to define us as we move into this new year of the church? And the Lord gave me the word. This is not the Old Testament lesson that was in the pericopes, which is the ones that we pass down every year, the text that we use. This is what the Lord gave me, and it was Micah chapter 6, specifically 6-8. But the verse the Lord just kept drawing me back to was Micah 6, verse 8. And I thought, okay, Lord, what do you want to tell us? And this is what he said. This is the verse. He has told you, O man and woman, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. And I thought, well, we have the pageant on the last week, and we have 3 weeks to teach on this. So, okay, Lord, I'm going to break it up, and we're going to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God into 3 weeks. And we're going to really ask the Lord, what does this mean for us? Because when I look at the word require there, I don't see require as law. Because if you read the whole context, God's already done everything. Require isn't something that is generated by us. It's simply responding to what God has already done. It's really reflecting what he's done. So I decided I was going to, as we start this season, and we know the Latin word for Advent Advent is the Latin word for coming or appearing. And so I asked the Lord, what do you want us to understand? What are the words that you want us to specifically hold to? And I again looked at Micah chapter 6, and then I said, what are we going to spend this season on? Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. And we're going to look at the year ahead by celebrating the desire we have to be, and this is the saying that I picked up on. I don't know if it was the Lord, but we're going to be a chip off the old block. How many of you have heard this saying before? And again, I apologize to those people who don't want to be a chip off the old block. Maybe they look at their father or their mother and they say, I don't want to do that. See, I didn't have that response growing up. I actually, in a lot of ways, admired what my dad was able to do. And I thought it'd be cool to be a chip off the old block. And sometimes when my family gets upset with me, they tell me that I am a chip off the old block. But it's not the positive stuff they're looking at, unfortunately. But, you know, we've heard things like that. The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, you know. And as Christians, shouldn't it be our desire to be a chip off the old block? Isn't that what Jesus modeled for us? I have a few Bible lessons today that I just want to share with you, Bible verses that I think, you know, I just took a real high overview of John's gospel to see if this is consistent with what, you know, I could look at each gospel and find many examples. But I took an overview of John's gospel because if this is a consistent theme, it ought to be in here. And so I went on Bible Gateway and you know how they have the arrows? And I just went from one chapter to the next chapter to the next chapter, and I just picked out a few, and I'd like to cover them all, but I won't. But I did make some summary things, so if you want them. But before we get there, I want to say, when I looked at Micah, I thought this is kind of interesting because you know what Micah's name means? It's up there. Who is like the Lord? And really, that's his question for us, isn't it? Who is like the Lord? That should be our desire. That should be our question. Who is like the Lord? And the indictment against the people of Israel is similar to the Lord's judging us, because he's asking the people, why aren't you like the Lord? Why aren't you like your God? Why are you doing things that are contrary to what he told you to do? And it's actually, the book of Micah is interesting because he's a contemporary to Isaiah. He's a contemporary. He's at the time of King Hezekiah. And what's interesting is it's actually like a court case. And in Micah chapter 6, it's really fascinating. He's basically telling the mountains or the high places to be the jury. And he's making his case against the people of Israel. And the response that we get in starting at verse 6 is really the response of the people, or in Micah, towards the Lord's indictment. And so I want us, as we think about the fact that the indictment against the people of Israel is similar to the Lord's judging us, right? How many of us can say we've kept all the commandments of God? Yeah. How many of us can honestly say we seek to be like our Father, our Heavenly Father, right? There's a few of us, yeah? Yeah. But are we successful? Are we perfect? I don't think so. We strive after, but we're not successful. But as a covenant people, we have to keep from fixating on our lack of success in this and looking only at the judgment. But as a covenant people, we recognize our identity, or to whom we belong, is assured through Christ, and we are obedient or do what is required, as Micah said, because of who we are. It is not a law statement, it is a gospel statement, because we belong to God and he has given us our identity, and it's out of our identity that flows our obedience. You know how different that is from the world? I mean, you hear this from me all the time, but believe me, when you think about all the media you experience during the week, could you just bear with me if I repeat this over and over again? Because you're hearing all kinds of media, you're hearing all kinds of messages, but I can guarantee you that unless you're talking to someone who already understands this, it's very possible that you will not hear this at another time during the week. Okay? It's very possible that as individuals, we can get sucked into the world which thinks it's all about our obedience in order to gain our identity. It's what we do that makes us who we are. Isn't that the way the world teaches? It's what we have. It's what we do. It's our title. It's our family. That's what defines us. That's not true. It's a lie. It's not true. What defines us is our identity, and we get it through the Father. So we use this triangle, this three-dimensional thing, to say the Father gives us salvation. We belong to him, first and foremost. Our identity is a gift from him, And out of our identity flows our obedience. Isn't that simple? And then we talk about the fact that we're kingdom people. That the king, who we heard in the gospel lesson, people came and brought their cloaks and put them before the king, right? Who was riding on that donkey, the foal, the colt of the beast of burden. They put their cloaks down. They brought branches. They cut branches. They put them before the king because he was the one who was promised. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he tells us that we have his authority and that we have his power. The best example of this is if you're in law enforcement, what do you receive when you become an enforcer of the laws of the land? A badge. And what else do you receive? A gun. There you go. You receive things that give you the power to do what you've been given authority to do. And so when you look at this, the king gives us authority and he gives us the power. The authority is like that badge that says, I represent the one who has made the laws. And the power is the power to enforce. And God has given us this through the Holy Spirit. He's given us his authority and his power. And we never, and as we go through this year, I just pray we will not forget this. That's why I beg you not to get frustrated with your pastor and say, why does he keep saying this stuff? Because honestly, you will not hear it anywhere else unless you get a tape or a CD, I should say, because now I'm way behind, or even a little memory stick and put it into your computer or go on the web or find it someplace. You're not going to hear it anywhere else. So what? So as we go into this year, we remember we belong, we believe, and we become more like the Father. We belong to him, we believe in him, and we become more like him through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in many places that he modeled this for us. In John 5:19, he says, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing on his own accord. That sounds pretty scary, doesn't it? He just healed a blind man. He just did miraculous things, and yet he says, the Son can do nothing on his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. Isn't that awesome? That's why I want us to be a chip off the old block, because if we are from a spiritual point of view, if we recognize who we are, that we belong to Jesus, that we belong to the Father, that he gives us our identity, don't we want to be a chip off the old block? Don't we want to be that apple that doesn't fall far from the tree? I mean, just think about that. If Jesus said, I do what the Father does, and he's going to do even greater things so that you'll marvel, don't you want people to marvel? We don't use that word because they make a ton of money off of all these movies. You know, really, a better word would be in awe, right? Don't we want people to be in awe of the God that we serve? Laura's not here today, my wife, but I just want you to know one of the reasons why, I'd be really stressed out right now under normal circumstances, because originally we were scheduled to have the baby induced tomorrow, and she said we would have to spend the night in the hospital tonight, and I don't know about you, but that is not the place I want to be. I want to be with my wife, but not in the hospital. And I want to tell you something. The Lord, through his gracious gift of healing, took what they said would not recover, the placenta they said would not recover, and now the baby is growing, and all the markers, according to the ultrasound, are perfect. Now, you can't tell me the Lord doesn't heal. I have to give my wife a little bit of credit because she's actually resting now and eating properly, so that's helpful. But when you have 10 children, you know it's kind of difficult. But I have to say, I mean, it's amazing what the Lord wants to do. And that, to me, is designed so that I have a sense of awe. That we marvel at the wonderful love and the justice and the works that the Lord does in his name. Isn't that awesome? John continues to tell us this. And again, you can just do this yourself. You can just look through the Bible and look for these things. And they're abundant. John 6:27, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. That's our identity, right? That's our badge. That's what we receive in baptism. The seal that God puts on our forehead and says, Satan, stay away. He doesn't listen, but he says that. Then they say to him, What must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. It's so simple. And yet how many people make it complex? Right? It's so simple. John 7, 28. So Jesus proclaimed as he taught in the temple, "You know me and you know where I come from, but I have not come of my own accord. He who sent me is true, and him you do not know. I know him, for I come from him, and he sent me." Isn't this awesome? What is he always doing? What is Jesus doing? Pointing back to the Father, right? Because even he, in his baptism and on the Mount of Transfiguration, received his identity from the Father. "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him," right? I mean, that's where we receive our identity. So Satan and the world, well, you can just go do whatever you want to do. Because who do we listen to? The Father. And who does he say we are? His children. John 8, 20, 25. "So they said, 'Who are you?' Jesus said to them, 'Just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him.' They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, 'When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me.'" So he not only does what the Father does, but what does he do? He speaks what the Father taught him. "And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." And as he was saying these things, many believed in him. John 12, "For I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." Isn't that awesome? I mean, I just went through and just like I said, I just kept clicking the arrow for the next chapter and reading it. And it's all throughout this gospel. I could have given you many more examples. The final example I have, and this one really is awesome, and I just want to close as far as the biblical examples of this. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. And listen to this. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these he will do. You don't look as excited as you ought to be. And just think about it. What did Jesus do? What did he do when in his earthly ministry? He raising the dead, that's a pretty impressive thing, don't you think? Did that several times, right? And what else did he do? Healed the lepers. Healed the blind. Cast out demons. I mean, he says that we're going to do what? Greater works than these will he do. Now, is God the Father giving Jesus the words to speak? Didn't we just hear that? He doesn't speak on his own. He speaks on whose authority? God the Father. And he does the works of the Father. He speaks the words of the Father. He is who the Father tells him he is. And what does he say about us who believe in him? Greater works than these will he do. Now that ought to excite us for next year. Right? If the Lord leaves us here for another year, does he have great plans for us? Does he want us to do things that will amaze us? At which we will marvel? Yes. Because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father will be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, and he dwells with you and will be in you. I mean, this is awesome. This is what we have for the new year. This is the promise we have. Should this not be getting us excited? Okay, I know you're excited. I could tell. We're stoked. So this year, and this is what I guess I felt the Lord saying is, I thought it was really interesting because if you're really, we're going to strive to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. We're going to spend time in worship, welcomed by the Father through the Son, and filled with the Holy Spirit to an intimate time with Him. That's why if you've looked at the document we sent out about redesigning the service, about moving things around, you've probably seen the document. We're going to ask the children to go out and have the children's sermon so we can put more time into it out in the lobby area, at the fireside area. We're going to move the sharing of the peace, which a lot of people think is the end of the service, and leave. We're going to move that to the end so that we can spend more time in greeting. We're going to add a portion of our time, which after we dismiss everyone to go for the meal, we're going to have people stay here if they want to bask in the glory and experience more intimacy with God, because we want the time when we worship the Lord and when we receive His body and blood to be the greatest and most intimate time that we receive all throughout eternity, right? This is the family feast. And we want this to be a family meal. We want this to be a time where nobody wants to miss. We want it to be an intimate time with the Lord, and we want everything to build towards it, and we want to stay there. So when we dismiss everyone, people that want to will be able to come up to the front and continue worshiping. Isn't that awesome? So that's what we're doing things, and we're also moving it later. How many of you like to have the service a little later? A few of you being honest. The rest of you, well, you're morning people. I don't understand you anyways. But that's okay. I'm married to one. morning people. But we're going to move it a little later because we believe that that way we might get some more people that, and we want this to be a family time where we get to experience the intimacy of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit here with His people. Because the Bible tells in Matthew 18, wherever two or more of my people are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Isn't that awesome? We have the assurance. Now, what bothers me, though, I have to just be honest with you. What bothers me as a pastor is, sometimes we treat that intimate experience that we receive on Sunday morning when we celebrate together as this family, that we treat it like a steroid shot. Got to get through the week, so I need my steroid. But the problem with steroids, and I was on steroids, I was on the medical one, mind you, the prednisone, for over a year. And, I mean, I gained 70 pounds, and it was horrible. But, you know, a lot of people treat their worship, their intimacy with God at this time like a steroid shot, and then they go back into the world and it kind of wears off over the week. And yet I believe that to be healthy, we need to continue to spend time in the Word, to spend time in prayer, and to grow as followers of Jesus Christ, to grow as disciples of Jesus Christ, to be that chip off the old block. We need to grow as disciples. And so this is what I'm sharing with you, because I'm so excited. When we talk about doing justice, we don't talk about doing justice from the sense of we're going to figure it out and it's a social justice issue. No, when we talk about doing justice, we talk about reflecting the one who is just and holy, right? When we talk about doing justice, we're talking not about figuring it out on our own, but saying God who is just, God who is holy, He's the perfect example. We're going to be a chip off the old block and we're going to do justice. We're going to act justly because we're going to do what He does. We're going to be who He calls us to be. We're going to be a doobie-doobie-doo. Be and do. We're going to do what He tells us to do. So we look at the three dimensions of our life. The up dimension, worship service changes, devotion, prayer, healing ministry. We're doing Soaky prayer on the 11th. We have the healing ministry team on Wednesday. I mean, it is awesome. How many of you have had the opportunity to pray for healing and been healed? I mean, isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. This is great. So that's what we want to put our emphasis on. We want to be, you know, someone asked me the other day, why does CrossFit Resurrection exist? And I said, well, we're at EMU. Oh, okay. So immediately they thought, we're just here because we have a wonderful university across the street, right? We're here for college students. But we're here more because I believe that in the Lutheran community, we need a church that really believes in healing, that really believes the Lord is going to do what He said He's going to do, and He's going to teach what He says He's going to teach, and He's going to be as manifest as He promised to be in the first century church. Amen? He's going to show up and do prophecy. He's going to show up and do all kinds of amazing things. And I said, it's not that I got anything against the other churches. They're awesome. I love the traditional church. I mean, they have a place. They're important. I love the contemporary church. They're awesome. But you know what? We're not the traditional church. We're not the contemporary church. We're the one who wants to be the first century church. We want to see the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit manifest in this place just like it was in the book of Acts. And I can be honest with you, there's a lot of pastors who don't want that. I know, but I'm just telling you. So that's why we need to be here. Not just because we do ministry to the wonderful university across the street, but because we have a place, because we have a purpose. This is what we're here for, right? So that's our highest value. And so I don't want this just to be a steroid shot and we go, oh man, I can get through the week. Yes, 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 yes. Saturday night. No, I want us to grow. I want us to take that steroid shot and I want us to start to discipline ourselves to be in discipleship, to be in huddles and small groups, missional communities. I want to find ways to interact and to grow. I want to find ways to get those disciplines that are so necessary to be the people God wants us to be. And then the out activities. We got up, in, and out. Out, finding ways to be followers of Jesus and show him in what we say and do. To be that one who's a chip off the old block. To be the one who says when we're in a situation, this is not just. Why? Not because we voted on something. Not because there's a group of people that's the majority. No. It's just because of what? It reflects the one who is just, right? We say it's this is what we do, this is how we do justice, because it reflects the one who is just and holy. It reflects the Father. And we, like Jesus, say whatever the Father does, we do. Whatever the Father says, we say. Right? That's awesome. And then as we follow the Advent devotion, we'll be doing acts of mercy. If you look in the front of the Advent devotion when you pick it up, it actually has, we have an Advent calendar in there, and one of the things it's asking you to do is acts of mercy, and we're going to talk about that next week. Acts of mercy. And again, we do acts of mercy not because we're trying to appease an angry God, but because of who we are, right? Just as Jesus said, I am who I am, and I do what I do, because I reflect the Father. We reflect the Father. We're a chip off the old block. We're an apple that doesn't fall far from the tree. We do things because we know who is just, who is holy, who is the one who set everything in place, who is the one who has a heart for us and was willing to send his son to die for us, who is the one that loves us more than the world will ever understand, who is the one that gives us the peace that passes all understanding, who is the one that can heal us and change our lives and give us the power to live as his people. As we follow the Advent devotions, we will be doing acts of mercy and we will be doing our family events like decorating and caroling and everything. And I guess the theme for this week is be ready. And my grandson, Josiah, it was so funny because I don't know what this says about my daughter. Well, I do know what it says about my daughter. But he learned this is his saying. Ready, set, go. That ought to tell you a little bit about his personality. Ready, set, go. That's the first three words he learned. Besides mom, dad, and grandpa. Right? Ready, set, go. That's what the call is for us. Today we get ready. The first week is be ready. Be prepared. Because God has great things in store for us, doesn't he? We're going to reflect it. We're going to be chips off the old block. We are going to be apples of do not fall far from the tree. We are going to be the one who reflects the Father through the Son. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to walk in authority and power. We are going to know our identity and be obedient because of who we are. We are going to be the people God wants us to be. And I believe with my whole heart that he has great things in store for us. Don't you? I just think this year is going to be awesome. And I know there's a lot of things that bring us down. I know there's a lot of things that burden us. And yet the Lord says to us, he says, I'm going to give you my body and blood. So with all of your senses, you know you're forgiven, you're set free, and you have everlasting life. That's what he's going to do today. When you come up here, you're not going to just receive bread and wine and grape juice, or non-alcoholic wine, sorry. You're going to receive the body and blood of Christ so that you know that you are forgiven, you are set free, and you have the power to do and be who God wants you to be. That he has given you your identity, and no matter what comes against you, and I have heard some of the things that are coming against our people, and I'll tell you something, Satan never sleeps, and he's always working overtime. And I'll just be honest with you, if you really want to be a disciple, then get ready. because he is going to, the more that you could damage his kingdom and his principalities, the harder he's going to work. Do we understand this? That's why the time for devotion, the time for prayer, the time for worship, that's why we need this time together. Because we have to remember, where does the power come from? God. Where does the authority come from? God. And what did Jesus say? Greater things would we do than what he did. I just love that. So are we ready? Amen. Are we set? Yes. Then let's go. Amen.